I have to be careful what I say about him because he's given me a recorder. It's good to be here. I've been in this building. Oh, thank you. So if you give me a clap at the beginning, that you don't have to at the end because you don't know what it's going to be like. That's cool. I've been in this building a number of times just sharing with Steve and getting to know him over the last 2 years. It's good to be here on a Sunday. And, you know, just following some of the journey that you have been on as a congregation and what God has done with this amazing building. It's brilliant, isn't it? Brilliant. And also with the screen. Pastor Redman was very keen to show me your screen. When it arrived, I think there was a lot of excitement with the screen that goes up and down. It's just been so good to follow the journey. Everybody okay? Oh. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. If I was going to leave you with one verse today, it would be from Matthew 10:22. It's a well-known verse. Jesus said that he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved. So I've been thinking a little bit about enduring and breaking through and overcoming, and a little bit about salvation. And when I was thinking about that, my mind went to some of the Bible stories, particularly in the Old Testament, and I began to think of Jericho. Who knows the story of Jericho? Yeah, around the walls of Jericho. Most of us will know that. And I wondered what would have happened if the armies of Israel had stopped marching after 6 cycles around the wall. And then my mind went to another Old Testament story, the story of Daniel. We read that Daniel prayed for 40 days and had an amazing revelation from God. I wonder what would have happened if Daniel had stopped praying at day number 39. Another story, Naaman came from Syria and came to the prophet. He was told to go and bathe in the River Jordan 7 times so that he might be cured of his leprosy. I wonder what would have happened if he only dipped 6 times. You see, it's not the starting in obedience that is really important. It's not the beginning to walk around the walls or one day of prayer or one dip in the Jordan that's important. It's actually he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's seeing through what God is saying to us, not just starting, but keeping on until we see a completion of the journey in God. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, what do I mean by salvation? Who's saved this morning? Oh, hallelujah. We're Pentecostal. Say amen to that. Yeah. Well, I'm a Pentecostal anyway. Charismatic. We're saved. We're saved from sin, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, saved from the penalty and the power of darkness. Amen and hallelujah to that. And I'm going to heaven. Yeah. I know there's only a few of us. I can talk quite loud, okay? I'm going to heaven. I've been saved. But salvation in the Bible is actually much bigger than that. That's a really important part of salvation. But actually the original Greek word to save, in that verse that we're talking about, he who endures to the end shall be saved, the original Greek word has an element of meaning to bring to safety. In other words, to take through a journey safely. It has a meaning to heal or restore, a meaning to deliver, and so much more. You see, God's saving power is not just for the time when we accept Christ into our lives and he's forgiven us our sins. Actually, God's saving power needs to be active in our life from that day and every single day through our whole journey until we reach our end aim of seeing Jesus face to face and worshipping him around his eternal throne forever and forever. But it's saving power every single day of our lives. I want to ask you a question then. Not thinking about being saved from the penalty of sin, because Jesus has already done that for us, okay? But I want to ask you a question. In what way do you need God's saving power over your life today? Do we need salvation in our relationships? Do we need salvation in our finance? Do we need salvation from poverty? Do we need salvation from sickness? In what way do we need God's saving power over our lives today? Because I believe that God wants to say this to us this morning. That just one final push and we will enter into a new experience of God's saving power in a particular area of our lives or our church. What way do you need God's saving power? Just put that into your head right now. And I want you to just hold on to that thought as we go through. One final push to see God break through in that way to save you. Of course, it's quite easy for me to stand up here and say, you know, come on, brothers and sisters, one final push and we will break through into God's saving power. Hold on and he will save you. It's easy for me to say that. I get that, because the journey of faith at times is pretty tough and it throws all sorts of things at us through our lives. So what I don't want to do this morning is just say, we've got to hold on. We've got to make one final push. I want to give you three things that I think are important to actually help us in that place of pushing on. One final push to see God's saving power. So what can we do to keep holding on? One final push to salvation. I think one of the first things we need in that time when perhaps we're struggling and looking for God's saving power and it's not as forthcoming as what we hoped, one thing that we need or would really help us is a clear vision. Okay, a clear vision. Everybody say vision. Oh, well, we're listening. Wonderful. Praise God for that. Okay, a clear vision. Paul prays for the church in Ephesus that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. See, when we talk about vision in the things of God, and I'm sure most of us understand this, we're not thinking about what we see with our natural eyes. I've recently been doing some work for Torch Trust, which is about Christian work for people who can't see. And I think you have a regular visitor here. I've forgotten his name. Oh, yes. I know Wilbur, his guide dog. I remember Wilbur better than her. So anyway, yeah, so we're not talking about that type of vision, what things that we see with our positive eyes, because again, the reality in life, when we look around what's happening at this point in time, we can see some great things, and we can probably see some pretty negative things as well. So our vision is not focused on that, it's our vision in our understanding, our hearts, our minds, and a spiritual vision. So what is it that this understanding needs to be? What do we need to see in our understanding? I believe the thing that's central to this is a vision in our understanding of who God is. So who is God? That's a big question, isn't it? Who is God? We could talk for hours on that, but here's just some things I've written down just to throw out. Who is God? He is Almighty. He is Savior, He is Provider, He is Healer, He is Peace, He is Love, He is Creator, He is Baptizer, and so many more things. That is who God is. Say amen if you believe that this morning. That is who He is. Now, vision needs to be based on that understanding, rather than necessarily an understanding of just what we see God do. Now, it's great when we see God do amazing things in our lives, isn't it? Anybody ever been healed? Oh, I've been healed, okay. Anybody ever seen the providing power of God in your finances? Yeah. Anybody ever seen God's restoring power over relationships in your life? We've seen God do all these wonderful things, and it's really, really good when we see that happen. But I also know the reality in my life has been that I have prayed for people to be healed, and I prayed for myself to be healed, and it hasn't yet happened. I have prayed for relationships to be restored, and they are still broken. I prayed for provision and not actually seeing God break through in providing power as I wanted to. And if my vision of God is based solely on what I see him do, I actually miss the point. Because it's not just about what we see God do, it's about this vision in its entirety of who God is. Because when we get that, it doesn't matter if God hasn't saved us in our financial troubles at this point in time. We still see him because we know that he is provider, even if he hasn't provided for us at this point. It doesn't matter if we don't see God's saving power over in a health situation and people still remain sick. We might see that with our natural eyes, but our understanding still says, I see him as healer. My understanding of who he is needs to be far greater than my sight of what he actually does in reality or in the natural realm. Because when we get that, I believe we're able to push through. Because I don't say, God, you haven't done this, therefore I'm not going to believe you in the future. We say, actually, God, okay, the reality is you haven't done this yet. but I still see you as the one who is almighty, who is more than able to accomplish anything, to accomplish more that, in our lives than we can ever ask or imagine. You know, some of us, we get disillusioned with what God does. I believe in complete honesty before God, by the way. Sometimes we get angry with what God has or has not done in our lives. What I want us to do is just put that to one side. That's what we see with our natural eyes. But let's have this vision of who God is, not just what he does. But moving on from that, because it's not just important to have a vision of who God is, I also believe it's important to have an understanding of what God has said. Why? Because God is truth, part of who he is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Well done, we'll do that again. I am the way, the truth, and the life, okay? Truth is who God is. Everything he says is 100% accurate. So what God has said about your past, what he's saying about your present, and what he says about your future, all that is completely accurate. So what has God said about your past? He said this, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You are forgiven in the name of Jesus. All your past shame, all your past regrets, all your past doubts, all your past failures, wiped away, done with, washed, cleansed, put behind his back, cast into the deepest sea in the name of Jesus. That is your past. It is no longer has any power over you. Whatever the past of your family has been, whatever the past of the church is that you've been in, all done, dealt with. God says it's finished. What does God say about your present? He says this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now I wake up some mornings and I just love the presence of God. Wow. I don't know if you're ever there where you sort of just, oh, isn't Jesus wonderful? And I just sense the glory of God upon me, and things go really well that day. And then there are some mornings I wake up and think, where on earth has Jesus gone today? Again, the reality of my vision isn't based on how I feel. It's based on my understanding of his word. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It doesn't really matter how I feel today. And if I have those days when I'm feeling like God is a million miles away, I perhaps just need to put in a little bit of extra effort in my prayer life and my devotion. I need to fan up the flame within me, the gifts of the Spirit within me, because I know he's with me right today. I want to say to you, there may be times in your life, and you may be feeling right now, that God has abandoned you, forsaken you, and that you're just not sensing his presence. I want to declare over you that he is with you today. Okay, right now, at 12:15 on the 11th of September 2016, Jesus is with you, whatever you feel like. And when we have this vision of who God is, rather than just what he does, when we have this vision of his word as truth, then again, I think it really helps us. It certainly helped me to push through when life gets a bit tough and I'm looking for God's saving power and it doesn't come as quickly as I want it. I just remind myself of the vision. He is God. His word is true. I'm going to carry on. So I want to encourage you, have a vision of who God is. Have a vision of the word of God that is spoken over you. Of course, with that word of God that he speaks, we believe the Bible. But of course, there's the prophetic word as well. And we've had some prophetic word this morning. Praise God for the prophetic gift that's alive and well in the 21st century. Just to mention that the prophetic gift is not quite as 100% infallible as the word of God is. We have to understand that. Yeah, it says we prophesy in part and we know in part. But if God has spoken prophetic words in your life, or if he's spoken to you direct through the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, I also want to encourage you to hold on to that as well. What has God said to you? What is he saying to you? Keep hold of it. Believe it. Have a vision of it. And continue to push through until we see God's saving power in your situations, in your life, in the church. The second thing that I believe will help us, and has certainly helped me in pushing through to see God's saving power, is not just this vision, a clear vision of who God is and what he says, but it's actually faithful action. Okay, faithful action. Revelation 2:10 says this, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You will be pleased to know that I don't come with a prophetic word of martyrdom this morning, okay, which that verse refers to. Okay, I'm not saying that's going to happen to us. But what I am saying is this, that God wants us to be faithful in our lives. Now, what is faithfulness? I've met people who think faithfulness is holding on to what we have, not budging, not moving, standing firm in everything that God has given to us, and that's that. And therefore, I won't do anything new, I won't change anything, I won't move on in anything. Now, I understand that view of faithfulness, but let me take you back to the story of the talents, okay? Many of us know the story where the master gave three servants some money. To one he gave, in effect, £10, to another he gave £5, and to another he gave £1, the number of talents, gold coins, silver coins. And though the one that had 10 and the one that had 5 went and did something with the money. They spent it to buy things, they invested, and then they sold other stuff, and they generated more wealth with what the master had given to them. They used it. The one that had one just kept hold of it. He buried it. He said, I'm going to be faithful by just holding on to this so tight that this isn't going to move, it's not going to do anything. I'm going to keep hold of it. You know, when the master came back, he said that the ones who had used what they had, they were faithful. The one that just kept hold of it and didn't do anything with it, who refused to budge and use the gifts that God had given to him, he actually called wicked and lazy. You know, faithfulness is not just about holding on to what God has given to us. Faithful action is about using what God has given to us that we might see his kingdom extended and the name of Jesus glorified. It's about using what God has given us to bring godly transformation to our communities and our society and to see the church of Jesus Christ grow and extend again to the glory and the honor of Jesus. So how do we actually live pushing through in that active faithfulness? I believe there's two things that we need to do in order to push through faithfully to see God's saving power. And the first thing that I've wrote down here is that we need to faithfully keep turning up. You know, I heard a little phrase a while ago that 90% of success is simply turning up. Simply turning up. The successful athlete faithfully turns up at the gym every week. Very often every day. The successful business person keeps turning up at the office every day for work. The successful youth leader keeps turning up for youth group every single week, regardless of what's going on in his head. And I've been a youth leader. I know what goes on in youth leaders' heads when youth nights come in sometimes. Okay, but they faithfully keep turning up. You know, the moment we stop turning up is the moment we remove the opportunity for success and change in our lives. Because we just don't turn up. I want to encourage us that if we want to see God impact our families, our health, our finances, our ministries, we need to keep turning up at the place where God wants us to be. Now, where does God want us to be? He wants us to be in the place of prayer, the place of worship, the place of relationship. He wants us to be in that place of discipleship. He wants us to be in the place of victory. He wants us to be in the place of fellowship. He wants us to be in the place of service. And I know some of those things are hard. I've been at times in my life when it's been so, so difficult to pray. Because I just don't know what on earth God's up to in my life. There have been times when I really haven't wanted to go to church, even when I've been the pastor. We're not immune from this, okay? There have been times when I really didn't want to go to church because I just didn't get what God was doing and why stuff was so hard. There's times when I've just not wanted to turn up where God has wanted me to be. Personally, I've had to make that commitment. However I'm feeling, whatever I'm going through, I'm going to keep turning up. Because God wants us to faithfully be involved in action that we might push through. I want to encourage you. Next Sunday morning, doesn't matter how you feel, get out of bed and come to church if you possibly can, okay? Just keep turning up. Keep turning up to the place of prayer tomorrow. When you wake up and you don't know what God's doing in your life, faithfully turn up to that place of prayer and get on your knees or however you pray. And just spend that time before God. But faithful action isn't just about turning up. I also believe it's about faithfully believing. Because, again, genuine belief is really about action. We have belief. And then we have wishes. And I think sometimes as Christians we're guilty of getting the two a little bit confused. Let me give you an example. I've met Christians who say, I believe God is going to get me out of debt and is going to bless my finances. And praise God for that. Actually, what they mean is, I actually wish that God would get me out of debt and help me with my finances, because all they do is they just speak the words. They don't actually follow through with action. And the Bible says this, that faith without works is dead. So whatever we believe for, we have to actually put into action, see it outworked in our lives. I've heard Christians say, I believe that God is going to cause our church to grow. And everybody says, amen, hallelujah, praise God. And actually, they really mean, I actually just wish that God would cause my church to go, because I'm just going to turn up and twiddle my thumbs and just watch God do things. Faith without works is dead. I don't wish that God would give me a great marriage. I'm going to wake up every day, and whilst I have multiple failures as a husband, I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to do my best to be the best husband I can. I'm going to work hard at my relationships. I'm not just going to wish for a good marriage. I'm going to work at it, and I'm going to believe God. Faith that is outworked. Faith that works. Again, let me give you another example. Bring it back to church. If we really believe that God wants our churches to grow and wants to bring salvation over our churches and healing and restoration and enlargement, we need to see that faith outworked in reality through what we do. I want to encourage you to share your faith. Say amen for that. I want to encourage you to share your faith. I want to encourage you to pray for your communities. I want to encourage you to engage in social action that we might demonstrate the love of Jesus in a very practical way. Let's not be churches, and I've been guilty of this, yeah, where we just say, I'm gonna wish that God would do something. No, no, no. I'm gonna faithfully believe God would do something, and I'm going to act upon that belief and see it outworked in a real way. Because when we make that commitment to faithful action, when we keep turning up, when we keep believing God in an active way, then I believe we can push through and see God's greater salvation over our churches, over our finances, over our lives, over our families. So to push through, I want to encourage you. Have that clear vision of who God is and what He says. I want to encourage you to have that commitment. I'm going to faithfully turn up and I'm faithfully going to believe in a way that leads to action. And the final thing that I want to share with you that I believe will encourage us, and it certainly encouraged me to continue pushing through, is a regular celebration. Who likes parties? Yeah. Steve obviously likes parties. He's left church early to go to one. I like parties. I love parties. I'm going to be 40 in a few days' time. I know. I don't look it, do I? I'm going to be 40 in a few days' time. And one thing I've learned about celebration is this, that celebrating, particularly birthdays, isn't about celebrating achievement. It's just about celebrating the journey of life. And sometimes we feel that in order to celebrate, we have to have accomplished something. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's not just wait until we accomplish something before we learn to celebrate the journey that we're on. Because it's the journey that's important. Celebrate the journey. Celebrate the milestones. You know, you may feel like you have or don't have a great deal to celebrate in your life. You might not feel like you don't have a great deal to celebrate about what God's doing at the moment. I want to say this to you. This morning, you woke up, and whatever else is going on in your life, you have shown enough faith to come to church. That's actually a huge thing for some people. You woke up, and today, you've managed to take another step in your journey of faith with God. Sometimes that's worth celebrating, just the fact that I've got up and the fact that I'm still believing God, and today I'm still taking a breath, and today I'm still loving Jesus, even though all the other stuff's going off in my life. Celebrate the fact that you're here today, even if you've got nothing else to celebrate. Hallelujah, you're in church, you're still believing Jesus. That's something that should get us going, regardless of what else is going on in your life. You've made it through another night. Hallelujah, and praise God for that. You may not have reached your destiny in Jesus yet. He may have an awful lot of stuff for you to accomplish, but today you've just taken one more step towards that. That is worth celebrating. Learn to celebrate the journey. Because when we do that, it's not just about me waiting to see God save. It's about saying, wow, I've taken another step towards seeing God's saving power over my life. Isn't the journey good? Another thing about celebration. Not just about celebrating the journey, but celebrating the little things. You know, sometimes we think God's saving power is about the huge and the miraculous. He saved a person with cancer by healing them. Ooh, praise God, hallelujah for that. He saved somebody out of poverty by writing off £30,000 worth of debt. Praise God for that. Those are great, miraculous things. But you know, God's also in the business of saving us in the little things. Somebody who's in debt and manages to put £5 on their gas meter that day is God's saving power. And that's something that's worth celebrating. Somebody who is in a struggling relationship, but that week they've managed to show just a little bit of affection to their husband or wife, that is God's saving power. It doesn't have to be the big and the spectacular, it's just saying, wow, today something little has happened and God has saved me just in that little way. And I'm going to celebrate with that. I'm going to rejoice over that. I don't have to wait for the big thing. Even though I do believe God does want us to experience the big thing at some point. There's a wonderful little verse in the Bible. It says, don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the day of small things. What God is doing in your life may seem small, just as a seed of an oak tree is tiny. And yet those little things that God is doing in your life today is just a foretaste of the big things that He's going to do in the future, for the seed will grow. The seed of salvation will grow. Water it, nurture it, and see it bloom and blossom into God's full saving power over your life, over your family, over your finances, over your health, over anything that you need God to do for you today. Do not despise the day of small things. It's just the beginning. Say hallelujah to that. It is just the beginning. You know, if we take time to celebrate the journey, to celebrate the small things, I believe that just fills us with hope for the future. We talked about hope earlier. Let hope arise in the name of Jesus. The small things, celebrate them. Celebrate the journey. And look forward to a final push to see God's saving power in your life and your situation. I want to conclude just with a couple of things, really. I want to start my conclusion by encouraging you just to carry on doing what God has called you to do. Albert Einstein, reckoned to be one of the most intelligent men of the last century, described insanity. Some of you will have heard this. He described insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. He said that was insanity. Extremely intelligent man. I'm not going to disagree with him in entirety, but I believe that's only a half truth. Yeah, I mean, there are times in our lives where we're just not seeing God break through as we want to, and we do need to rethink, am I doing the things that God has called me to do? Am I actually living in his plans and purposes? And if not, then I need to readjust my life in order that I might see God break through. So I do get that phrase, yeah? Sometimes we do need to change in order to see something new happen. But again, I only believe it's half true. Let me give you a physical illustration. Assuming that I had a big rock in front of me, just imagine that. And I wanted to see that rock break in half. And how do I do that? I hit it with a big sledgehammer. Okay, I probably couldn't even lift a sledgehammer, never hit something with it. But anyway, so imagine the big rock, okay, and I'm hitting this rock with this big sledgehammer. And I hit it, and I hit it, and I hit it, and I hit it 99 times. And then I think, well, I spent these 99 times doing exactly the same thing and not seeing the result that I want to. And then I hit it once more. And what happens? And the rock breaks. I haven't changed. I've just continued doing what I know is right. You know, sometimes the journey is hard. I get that. Sometimes you carry on doing what you believe is right and not seeing the result that you want to see. I just believe God says that sometimes we just need to keep doing what he's called us to do, even if we don't see that result. Because there's coming a day with one final push when God's saving power will break through. Time for doing things differently. There's a time for continuing. I know God has said this. This is what he's called me to do. I'm going to do it and do it and do it until something breaks. If you continue to have vision, if you continue to live in faithful action, if you continue to celebrate the little things and celebrate the journey, I believe you can continue in that. And then one day, something's going to give and salvation is going to come. I want to encourage you this morning. Just continue doing what God's doing. Continue in that journey. Because I believe that for some of us, salvation is just one final push away. Not even a great deal of time in the future. It just takes one final push over this church, over our lives. Just a little bit more, a little bit more effort, a little bit more faithfulness, a little bit more vision. Just the next few steps, just push it and push it and push it. And I believe that something's going to break in the name of Jesus. Maybe some of us have in our heads things that we need to see God's saving power over. I ask you to think about that at the beginning of this message. Just bring them back to your mind right now. Do you need God's saving power in your family, in your finances, in your health? Do you need God's saving power in the church? We need to see God's saving power over York and Yorkshire. Begin to think those. Perhaps if we want to close our eyes maybe and just lift those things up before God right now. God, we want to see your saving power break through in these ways. I want to see your saving power in my ministry. I want to see your saving power over my children who've gone away from you. I want to see your saving power over my debt. Right now, just begin to have that clear vision of who God is and what he says. He is provider. He is healer. He is restorer. He is peace. He is joy. Recognize the actions that you need to take. If you're going to believe this, it works itself out. Yeah, Father, I thank you for your saving power. And I pray the saving power of God over our lives and over this church. God, I pray that you would help us to make those final steps towards seeing your saving power break through in our situations, in our lives, in this congregation and over this city of York. Lord, I pray that you would give us the energy and help us to remain faithful, that we might see you break through in power and in glory, that your saving power would rise upon this whole area, and that we would see the name of Jesus lifted high, and people come to know Christ in the multitudes. I pray for rivers of revival in the name of Jesus. I pray for rivers of healing and rivers of provision in the name of Jesus. I pray for the saving power of God to impact us for the glory and the honor of Christ. And Lord, as we push through towards that, God, help us to rejoice in the journey. Help us to remain faithful. Help us to see you as you are. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.